بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم We finished off on that incident where Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was trapped in a room and he fled out. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala caused the locked doors to open up, and there when he ran out, the wife of the minister that was trying to trap him tried to hold on to his kurta from the back, and it tore, and the investigation was made. A child miraculously gave evidence, and on the basis of that evidence, the reality became very clear that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is innocent, and who is the one that is at fault. One point which I wish to draw our attention towards, when we discuss the aspect of وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيسَهُ مِنْ دُبُرِ وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ, and she tore his kurta from the back. On one occasion I translated it as a shirt, somewhere translated as kurta. Perhaps it might cause some misunderstanding or maybe some confusion. So therefore it is appropriate that that be elaborated a bit. This brings the topic of clothing. Qamis, the word qamis literally in the dictionaries would mean or would be translated as shirt, but it does not refer to the shirt that we know in our context. In our context, the word shirt has a particular, brings a particular image in mind. Therefore, I translated it as kurta, but just to very briefly touch on this topic of clothing, that clothes that a person wears is not just any garment that he covers himself with. And this is something which Shariat has always been saying to us. Even today's modern, so-called modern research and psychologists of today, they are saying that clothing is far deeper than just a garment that covers the body. It is indicative of a person's thoughts and his outlook towards things. His clothing says it. His clothing will determine how he will respond to various things. His clothing is not just something that he puts on top. Sometimes this is taken for granted, and sometimes people even say that the heart should be clean. As long as the heart is correct, outwardly, whatever is the situation, what a person wears, what difference it makes. The heart must be clean. Indeed, the heart must be clean. But Shariat governs the heart, which is inside the batin, and Shariat covers the zahir as well. The Quran states, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَا, that leave out the apparent sins also, and leave out the sins from within also. The apparent sins, clothing also is governed by certain laws of the Shariat. And when these laws will be transgressed, then it will be part of the apparent sins. Sometimes a person says, well, the batin, my inside is perfect, so the outside really doesn't matter. But this is not the case. If a person takes an example of a fruit, if the fruit has started to rot inside, then it will show outside. You'll find spots and dots coming on the skin. And if it starts rotting more, then very easily from the outside you'll be able to make it out that there's some rot inside. Yes, it's possible that there's a cover-up job, that from the outside everything is looking perfect, but inside there is some problem. But if there's a problem inside, it will show outside. So, like that, the batin also has to be correct. And if the batin is perfect, then it will automatically make the zahir perfect also. It won't be possible that a person's batin is perfect and outwardly nothing. Outwardly he'll be upside down. And how come when it comes only to deen, when it comes to the matters of deen, then a person says that as long as the batin is inside, the inside is okay, what does the outside matter? When it comes to the worldly things, then suddenly only the inside is not sufficient. The batin of a house is the bricks being laid, the structure, the roof in its place, the floor is there, he's got the structure above his head, and he's got the walls in place, that is the batin of the house. Perhaps there might not even be a need to plaster the walls, but which person suffices on that without the plaster on the walls? Okay, if for some reason the plaster is necessary, the paint is not necessary, but which person suffices without the paint if he can afford it? He never says that the batin is all I want of this house. The zahir, what difference does the zahir make? When it comes to his car, for example, the engine is in working order, that car can move without any hassle from point A to point B, the batin of the car is achieved. If that car is dented all over the place, it has started rusting all over the place, the paintwork has come off all over the place, he doesn't want to leave it like that, he wants to sort it out. But that's the zahir is not necessary, the zahir is not important, the batin is important. But when it comes to that car, the person never says that the batin is important, the zahir is not important. So when it comes to our houses, it comes to our cars, it comes to all our worldly things, then the batin and the zahir, everything becomes important. When it comes to deen, suddenly now, the batin is important, the zahir is not necessary. So as far as clothing is concerned, this too is part of shariat, is part of deen. And the basic, this is the entire detail on its own, but the basic things to keep in mind with regards to clothing is, that one, it must be long enough to cover the satar. The details of the satar and so on, the ulama will explain later. But just to go briefly through this, one is it must cover sufficiently in its extent. The other is that it must be thick enough so that it does not still defeat the purpose. If it's so thin that it can, that a person can see through that clothing, then there's no the purpose of the clothing is defeated. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to some woman who will come in the later times. From that time it was later times. Now it's present times. Kasiyatun ariyatun. That woman who would be clothed yet naked. That clothing is just merely clothing for the sake of name. In reality it is not clothing. In reality it doesn't serve any purpose of clothing. So it must not be so thin that it can be seen through. And neither must it be so tight-fitting that the shape of the body is exposed. That too falls under the same words of this hadith, kasiyatun ariyat. That clothed, yet unclothed, yet naked. Because the purpose of that clothing must be to cover not just the color of the body, it must cover even the shape of the body. It must be loose-fitting and it must cover the satar in all its aspects. And the point that we need to take note of here is that sometimes a person wears such tight-fitting garments and comes to the masjid or wherever and he performs his salah, and especially when he goes into sajda and so on, and the body, the shape of the body becomes very clear, such namaz is also not permitted. When the shape of the satr sometimes becomes very clear, then that namaz also doesn't take place. So this is something which we need to take note of very carefully, that sometimes if the clothing is so tight-fitting that the satr, the shape of the satr becomes apparent, then the namaz also is not fulfilled with such clothing. So nevertheless, this is the entire subject on its own, the aspect of clothing. And we find that this is something we take for granted, but we don't realize how we are being fooled with various styles and fashions and what have you. And people get excited about it, get taken away. I don't see this much now, but previously, many people were fond of wearing a particular style of a particular garment, where in the back used to be written in very bold words, very bold letters, Bay International. I used to read it the other way around, International Bay. That's exactly what happens. All these things, big inscriptions all over the clothing, which somehow with the media and with the hype that goes around with it, people become very attached to it. This is something we need to wear. This is something. And they take pride in it. And say, what's the difference in imitating? If what's the difference in imitating, if one is really serious about this, then one day let him wear his sister's clothing and come out. Today he's imitating his sister. What's the difference? Wear the scarf and the whole outfit and everything. Yesterday he was imitating somebody in the West. Today he's imitating somebody in his house. Which person is ready to do that? If imitation was something that's not serious, then what difference it makes? We find that imitation is not just something. Imitation of the sulaha, of the pious ones, this has its effect. Then if that has its effect, then imitation of the impious will have its effect also. When the magicians came to challenge Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu wasalam, so just merely to confuse the matter, they imitated his dressing. Now at that time, they were coming to challenge the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And what can be a greater point of kufr than challenging the Nabi of Allah ta'ala? Yet, according to many mufassirin, Allah ta'ala showered his rahmat on them because apparently they were imitating his Nabi. And such rahmat came upon them that when they accepted Iman, they just accepted Iman now. They just accepted it. And they just expressed their shahadat. And Fir'aun now becomes enraged. And he says that, إِنَّ هَذَا لَمَكْرٌ مَكَرْتُمُوهُ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ لِتُخْرِجُوا مِنْهَا أَهْلَهَا فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجِلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافِ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That I will cut your hands, I will cut your legs, I will crucify you. What are they saying? قَالُوا لَا ضَيْرٌ Inna ila rabbina munqalibun. No problem. Do what you want. We will return to our Rabb. Such iman Allah Ta'ala blessed them on the spur of that moment. And that came outwardly because the sabab became, the apparent cause and reason became because they were imitating the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his appearance. When imitation of the pious will have such effect, imitation of the impious will also have its effect. So there is great effect in the type of clothing that a person wears, in the type of garments that he dons. This is not just something, by the way, it has an effect on a person. A person who wears a baseball cap, he's got a certain kind of t-shirt, a certain kind of pants, certain kind of tackies that he's wearing. See the type of walk that he walks in also. His walk will change. And a person who's wearing that same person, put him in a kurta and put him in a topi and put him in an amama, and see his very walk will change again. It has an effect. It has an effect on a person's outward actions also, it has an effect on the person's inside as well. So, clothing is not just something, by the way, clothing has a great effect on a person, and therefore it is something to be taken note about. Another one point that, because of the lack of time, we just rounded off quickly. One point that needed to be mentioned here, when the wife of the minister, Zulaikha, when she slandered Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam by saying that, what is the punishment of the one who intends evil with your family. So this was a slander against him. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, on this occasion, when he was slandered, he didn't sit quietly and say that, well, I got to make tawakkul on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala will clear the matter, let me just keep quiet. No. When a person is falsely accused of something, he has been slandered, then he should make the reality known. After making the reality known, but he has done his job. Now he makes his tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But he mustn't stay quiet and say, well, whatever is meant to happen will happen. His duty is to make the reality known. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam immediately said, "Hiya rawadatni an nafsi," that she tried to seduce me. I am free of this. So that is another point that was left out. So further Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now describes what happened thereafter. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. This incident took place and the minister himself realized what is the situation here. He rebuked his wife that this is your evil plan and scheme. You must repent from this. And he asked Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, please ignore this and forget about it and just bury this matter. But these things don't get buried very easily, and slowly this news leaked out. And the people started talking about it. So, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. The woman of the city began saying that the wife of the minister is trying to seduce her slave. A woman of that status, of that position in society, and she's falling for a slave, what is wrong with her? Something is not right with her. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ, that her heart has been engulfed in love. In other words, she is, something is wrong with her. This kind of love for a slave, إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, verily we see her to be in clear error. We regard her to be in clear error. So when this gossip started, the wife of the minister also heard about it. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ, when she heard of their evil schemes, so she invited them. She heard about this, so now she wanted to, try and lessen the blame from upon herself, that you are saying I fell for a slave. So let's see how you respond to this situation. أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ, she invited them. وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا وَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. Then she prepared a lavish meal for them, and she gave each one of them a knife in her hand. Muttaka'a actually refers to the place where people are made to sit with pillows and all placed. And such things were placed in front of each one which needed to be cut or peeled, fruit, whatever the case may have been. So together with that, a knife was placed in front of each one of them. And now when all of them got busy with their eating, and all of them had their knives in their hands, and they were so engrossed in what they were eating and cutting and slicing and peeling, whatever the case may be. So Zulaikha came and instructed Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقَالَتِ خُرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. He was a slave. He doesn't know what is happening here. He is not aware of what plan she has made. She gives him the instruction that go out into that room. He's still a slave in this house. He still has to obey instructions. He still has to take orders. So he comes out into that room. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. When they see him, now as soon as he came, suddenly he doesn't know where he's coming out. And they are not expecting somebody to come into this place also. When he comes out into this room, they suddenly see him, all these women that are gathered there. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ, they are astounded by what they see in front of them. وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ, and like how sometimes when a person is taken aback in something, he is astounded with something, and his attention is totally fixed onto that, he loses control of other things that he is busy with. He doesn't realize what he is doing. Their attention was so fixed onto Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they didn't realize what they are doing. وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ, and with those knives that they were already in their hands, they cut their own hands. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا, and they said, never, by Allah, this is not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, this is not but an honorable angel. So, when now they had already cut their own hands, and they couldn't deny anything, that they had also been so enchanted by his beauty, so now she got her opportunity. Zulaikha came out and said, قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ, she said, this is the very person regarding whom you were rebuking me about. That what is wrong with this woman? She is falling for a slave. Look at your own condition now. وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, and now Yusuf alayhi salam is still trapped in that same place. She is trying to now further intimidate him and further threaten him, and she is addressing this woman but making him hear, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, I tried to seduce him but he remained chaste. وَلَئِن لَّمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, and if he does not do what I command him with, then he will indeed certainly be imprisoned, or he will be amongst those who are disgraced. Now she is further still threatening him. She was caught out red-handed once, but shaitan and nafs don't leave a person easily. Shaitan says, you got away last time, you'll get away again next time too. So, carry on with it. So shaitan is still behind her, nafs is still with her, and she is still trying to further intimidate Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When these women hear this, according to many mufassirin, they also get caught up in this, and they start rebuking Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they say to him that this woman has done great favors to you, she has looked after you and brought you up, you should obey what she is doing. When Yusuf alayhi salam hears all this, he says, he makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. Oh my Rabb, verily being imprisoned is more beloved to me than that which they are calling me towards. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And if you don't turn away their evil plans from me, I will become inclined towards them, and I will become from amongst the ignorant. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. His Rabb answered his dua and turned their evil schemes away from him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Verily he is one who hears everything, hears the duas of his servants, and one who is all knowledgeable, who knows everything. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. That they should still imprison him until a time. That if he is in prison, now the story will be finally buried, because there will be no chance of anybody having any doubts now, and this story will die down. Here there are also certain points that we have to take a lesson from. So Quran Kareem, as I explained, every word is a mu'jiza, every word is the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there's a lesson to be taken from everything. Here when Yusuf alayhi salam was made to come out, Allah ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ. When they saw him, as soon as their gaze fell on him, this had such a transfixing effect on them that they were astonished and they started cutting their own hands. One gaze, one look, and this is where it landed them. And therefore it is no small thing that the Quran Kareem has separately addressed males and females, whereas generally in the Quran, the male gender is used and everybody is addressed. But when it comes to the aspect of protecting the gaze, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala separately addresses both males and females. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men that they must cast their gazes low and protect their chastities. Separately Allah ta'ala then says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ. Say to the believing woman that they must cast their gazes low and protect their chastity. And these two things are mentioned side by side. The Mufassirin explain that when the gaze will be protected, the chastity will be safe. When the gaze will not be protected, the chastity is in danger also. And therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, النَّزْرُ سَهْمٌ مِّنْ سِحَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُومٌ. That the gaze is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. The gaze is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. One gaze can cause a person to sometimes lose his iman. There is a very lengthy incident with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned in his Abbiti of Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undulusi Rahmatullah Alayh. The incident is lengthy, the time is short also. Somehow it seems maybe, Wallahu alam, whether we will complete in time, but nevertheless this is something which, there's great ibrat in this. So I will very briefly mention it. This was a very great sheikh of his time. And it is mentioned he had approximately 12,000 murids. And people like Sheikh Shibli, Rahmatullah Alayhi and so on, where he's among his disciples. Now there is various reasons and suburbs that can be mentioned in this. But he was once on a journey and they passed by some people who were worshipping the sun or whatever the case may be. And they saw this and he said to his people also that look at these people, what are they up to. Nevertheless, as they went further, it was the time for Asr Salah and they were looking for water for making wudu. They came by a place where some water was there and some young girls were filling water from that well. And his gaze fell on one of them and he looked at her and after a while, he turned his gaze away also, made wudu, performed namaz, whatever the case may be. Then he called somebody and asked them that who was those girls that were at that well when we came to take water, especially that one particular girl, who was she? They said she is the daughter of the leader of this place. Nevertheless, he remained quiet. Now when the time came to leave and move ahead, he says to his murids and disciples, y'all go ahead, I am not moving from here. Why are you not moving from here? He says, bas, my situation is something else now. I cannot explain to you, you move ahead now. Try as much as they want to try and reason with him, But he instructs them that you move ahead and I am staying here. Out of helplessness, they finally, after much persuasion and fails also, they finally move ahead. Then he makes his way somehow to the person who they told him was the father of that girl, and he says that, I want to marry your daughter. The father was a Christian priest. He accepts the proposal on two conditions. One condition, you will have to give up your Islam. The second condition, you will have to graze the pigs. He accepts both conditions. And he finally gets married to her. The murids also come to know about what happened. They nevertheless return to their place full of grief. They can't understand what to do. And the only thing they resort to is dua. And many, more than 2 years pass in this way of absolute grief. Finally, Sheikh Shibli rahmatullah alayhi and few others decide, let us go and see what has happened to our Sheikh. They return, and after some inquiries, somebody tells them that he is in a certain place, in certain jungle, certain field. When they finally make their way to that field, they find him standing and grazing pigs, and he is leaning on that asa upon which he used to lean and give the khutbah. And on his neck is tied the cross. When they see this, they are totally taken aback. They cannot withstand their feelings and emotions, and they burst out crying. Oh Sheikh, what has happened to you? You were the hafiz of the entire Quran Kareem. Do you remember anything of the Quran? He says, yes, I remember one ayat of the Quran Kareem. That the ayat of the Quran is not coming to mind, but the meaning of that ayat is the one who turns away. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. The one who makes kufr after iman, the one who rejects iman, all his a'mal are also totally destroyed, and in the akhirat is a total loser. He says, this is the only ayat I can remember from the entire Quran. They say, you knew 12,000 ahadith by heart. Do you remember any hadith left? Any hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He says, yes, I remember only one hadith. مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَقْتُلُوهُ. The one who changes his deen from Islam, kill him. It's the only hadith I remember. They say to him, they try and advise him, reason with him, and they engage in earnest dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Shaykh also sees this, and something comes in his heart. He also starts crying with them. He also engages in dua. Nevertheless, finally they, after much persuasion and talking, and they see nothing is happening, they leave him, and they start returning again, still full of grief. Allah Ta'ala makes it such that again this person gets the tawfiq of iman, and as while they are on the journey, suddenly from a river bank they see him having just made ghusl from that river, and he's coming out reciting the shahadat again, and he joins them. He says, look, I have given up everything, I have thrown that cross away, I have accepted iman again. Allah Ta'ala made it easy that he came back and he joined them, and Allah Ta'ala restored all those things that he had previously also. But where did this come from? At one glance made a person lose his iman also. Made him, brought him to that situation where he was grazing pigs. This is not a small thing. It is a serious thing. On the occasion of Jummah, I mentioned that incident where a person came to an alim and he said that, I have given up watching television because of the evils that I know are there. I've given up watching it completely. The only thing I watch is the news. But that presenter is so beautiful that when I make sajda also, her face is in my mind and head, in my heart, when I'm making sajda also. I'm making sajda with the image of that woman in my mind and heart. What sajda is that? Certain things are sometimes not very palatable to say or to hear also, but people have admitted, when they come sometimes to take advice, they have admitted that because of not looking after the gaze, and certain images get embedded in their hearts and minds, when they go to their wives also, they go with that image in their mind. And this, a person is going to his halal wife and is getting the sin of zina. This is because of not protecting the gaze. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in this hadith, النَّزْرُ سَهْمٌ مِّن سِحَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُومٌ. That this gaze is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. One poet puts it very beautifully in one line of how the gaze leads up to the last act. That he says, نَزْرَةٌ فَابْتِسَامٌ فَسَلَامٌ فَكَلَامٌ فَمَوْعِدٌ فَلِقَاءٌ. All starts off from the first gaze. One gaze, and the eye meets the eye, then it turns, it gets coupled up with a smile, then there's salam, there's some discussion, there's an appointment, and there's a meeting. All starts off from the gaze. The person who will protect his gaze, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. He will protect his gaze, his chastity will be safe. And when he won't protect his chastity will be in danger. And this applies across the board to all غير mahrams. Without any exception, it applies across the board to all غير mahrams. The only exception is that if a woman has become so old that there can be no chance of fitna, then that is a separate issue. The Quran also has made some little leeway there, an exception, but otherwise without exception. In the last session that we discussed, I discussed that hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Hammu Al-Maut. The husband's younger brother is death. The wife should fear him as she fears death. Fitna from him as she fears death. And by extension, all the other close relatives of the husband, male relatives of the husband, the wife should fear them as she fears death. Al-Hammu Al-Maut. These teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are not just by the way, it is for our safety. And those who are involved in the social field, they know what is the halat, what is going on, and what kind of fitnas are taking place, and they will be in a position to tell us how we should appreciate these commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, this is something that we should not take lightly. My Hazrat Hakim Sahib Daud Barakatuhum says that in this zamana, a person who learns to protect his eyes and he truly protects it, he is the wali of the time. And this is something that is a reality. Because this leads to so many things, and a person learns to protect his gaze from all ghair mahrams and even handsome beardless youth, then he will be saved from numerous fitnas. So this is a lesson to take from this words of the Quran Kareem, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ وَقُلْنَ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. Then here, another thing the Mufassirin have mentioned on another point, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw these women's evil scheme and plan, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, because Zulaykha had threatened him with the same thing. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. That if he does not do what I instruct him, then he will be imprisoned. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Allah, prison is more beloved to me than this what they are calling me towards. When he finally was imprisoned, as the last ayah tells us, Wahi came down to him that, O Yusuf, you have put yourself into prison. You made dua that prison is more beloved to me. If at that time you made dua that, O Allah, give me afiyat from this, give me safety from this, you would have been given safety from that schemes that they were planning without ending up into prison. So on this, the Mufassirin state that the thing to ask for is afiyat. One sahabi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked him that, what should I ask for? Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what dua should I make? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, make dua for afiyat. After some time, he came back once and asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what dua should I make? Teach me some dua. Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, make dua for afiyat in everything. For safety from all difficulties, hardships, in deeni line, in the worldly line, make dua for afiyat. It is a very concise dua for all safety from all things which harm a person in any way, harm his deen or harm his dunya. So a person should make dua for afiyat in everything, and inshallah he will get that afiyat. After he is imprisoned, Allah Ta'ala says, وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانَ. The two young people entered the prisons with him. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا. Now when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam ended up into prison, he was sinless, he had committed no crime, but the prison is generally a place where all the criminals are, and this prison was no exception. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was an innocent person in there, but the prison was filled with these kind of people. Despite the fact that the prison was filled with these kind of people, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq was such that if anybody in the prison was sick, he would attend to that person. Somebody is grieved, he would come and console the person. Don't worry, very soon you'll get released. Why are you grieving? Somebody needed some help in something, he was there to help them. As a result, in a short while, the entire population of the prison also became endeared towards him. The warder of the prison said that this person is totally innocent. If it was my choice, and if I had any control of this, then I would certainly have released him from here. I have no choice, but what I will do now is to make sure that he is not in any difficulty as far as possible. I will try and make him as comfortable as I can. All the people of the prison also got endeared towards him. Among them were two young people who were also imprisoned. Who were these two young people? One of them was the cook of the king, and the other was the one who was responsible for preparing the wine of the king. The king was still a non-Muslim. Both of them were accused of trying to poison the king, and the case was still under investigation, so they were held in custody. Now, they had also seen the qualities of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They had seen his akhlaq, seen his natural qualities as well, and they realized that this is some great personality. So they came to him and they said to him, قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا. One of them said to him that, oh Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, I have seen a dream, and in a dream I am seeing myself squeezing wine out of the grapes. I am squeezing wine. The other said, وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَحْمِلُ فَوْقَ رَأْسِي خُبْزًا تَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ. Other said, I have also seen a dream. I have seen a dream that I am carrying a basket above my head with bread, and birds are coming and eating from this bread. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Tell us the interpretation of this. Verily we regard you to be amongst those who do good. One point that has been mentioned here, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentioned this in Ma'riful Quran, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came into prison, the prison was filled with these kind of people, but he engaged himself in serving them. This is the job of a muslih and of a da'i, that despite the condition of the people, no matter what condition they may be in, he must serve them and endear them to himself so that they will take to his da'wat. And when he invites them towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they will listen attentively and accept his da'wat. And he should not look at the apparent condition of the people and reject them for that, or create any enmity, any kind of ill feeling by being harsh on them. He should endear them to himself, and he should serve them so that his da'wat is effective and they take a lesson from it. That was one point. The second thing here is that when they asked him for their interpretation of the dream, they even said, "Inna naraka minal muhsinin." Verily we see you to be amongst those who do good, those who are righteous, those who are pious. A person should only ask the interpretation of a dream from a person who has these qualities, who is righteous, who is pious, and who has the knowledge of this as well. Interpretation of dreams, we discussed this already, is a very specialist thing. It is not something that just anybody has the ability to do. And one should not just ask the interpretation from anyone and everyone. Only a person who has this qualities, and a bad dream, he shouldn't ask the interpretation from anybody. He should just make isti'aza from it, say, A'udhu billahi min shaitani rajim, and Allah Ta'ala will protect him from any harm. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when they came to him, what does he say to them? He says to them that, قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَيَّ أَتِيَكُمَا. He says to them that your food which you are given will not come to you, except that I will inform you of its details before it comes to you. Now they are asking him the interpretation of their dreams. He is exposing a mu'jiza and a miracle that Allah Ta'ala has given him. What is that mu'jiza? That the food that is going to be served to you, it's still going to come. I'm sitting here and you are sitting here. Neither of us has seen what is going to come. But I will give you all its details. نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ. بِتَأْوِيلِهِ, most of the Mufassirin explain, is referring to the ta'wil of the ta'am, meaning the details of the ta'am of the food. I will tell you what is going to be served, what quantity is going to be served in, what varieties, if any, what kind of food is going to come. All the details I will tell you before it comes. Why is he telling them this? Because further, he is now going to be inviting them towards the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And before inviting them to the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, he wishes them to have confidence in his own person. On this point, the Mufassirin explain that a person who is involved, and well, everybody is a da'i, when he gives da'wat, Before that, he must win the confidence of those who he is going to be giving dawah to. And for the purpose of winning the confidence of that person, if there is a need to make known something that Allah Ta'ala has given him, some achievement, some ability that Allah Ta'ala has given him, and he shouldn't make this known only with that intention, to win the confidence of the person, to connect him to Allah Ta'ala. Not that this is some of my achievement. What does a person achieve? What is his achievement? Nothing is his achievement. A person feels that I've achieved something, Allah Ta'ala causes one little chuma and he becomes insane. What has he achieved? Where's all his knowledge gone to? Where's all his achievements and his degrees and all his great hard work gone to? A person has achieved nothing. Whatever he has is with the gift and the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Whatever a person abilities he has, it is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He has nothing of his own. But to gain the confidence of somebody, if he exposes something that Allah Ta'ala has given him, then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did the same thing, and he exposed this mu'jiza of his. Now having gained that confidence, he makes them aware of this reality also, that that is not my achievement. This is not something that I got of my own hard work. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. That is what my Rabb has taught me. That is what my Allah has given me. And how did I get this? Why did Allah Ta'ala bless me with this favor? Now he brings something forward in front of them, which will be very clear to them, which will appeal to their minds. When a person presents his da'wat, the da'wat should be of such a nature that the mukhatab, the person who is being addressed, can relate to it easily, can understand it, can appreciate it and digest it. He says, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala bless me with this, because I left such a nation who do not believe in Allah Ta'ala and they reject the Akhirat. Because I left out kufr and accepted Iman, as a result of accepting Iman, Allah Ta'ala bless me with this. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. They have come to ask the interpretation of dreams. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is giving them da'wah towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes on this point that a da'i, his job will always be in front of him. No matter what somebody comes to talk to him about, what work somebody brings to him, he won't lose sight of his basic responsibility of da'wat ilallah. And he will never lose an opportunity to give his da'wat. And da'wat ilallah is not dependent on some stage, on some mimbar, on some mic being in front of a person. The more effective da'wat is the da'wat that takes place in private gatherings, person-to-person da'wat. That da'wat is more effective than a da'wat of a general nature. So, da'wat in all its ways, da'wat in the practical way, where a person with his actions give da'wat. Sometimes he doesn't utter a word, but the way he associates with people, that invites them. Sometimes, in various different ways. So da'wat, he will never lose sight of his responsibility, and he will never lose an occasion, an opportunity to give his da'wat. So here he is giving his da'wat also. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. That I followed the creed of my forefathers Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It does not behove of us to ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala of anything. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. That is from the grace of Allah Ta'ala upon us and upon the people. He's talking about being safe from shirk. That too is attributing to the grace of Allah Ta'ala. A person can never feel that I am somebody and I am safe. Everything is with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. But most of the people are not grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Then he says to them, يَا صَاحِبَي سِجْنِ أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. O my companions of the prison, are many gods, different gods better, or one Allah who is all dominant? How can several gods ever exist? If there were more than one Allah, أعوذ بالله, then one would desire that today it must rain. The other would say, no, it mustn't rain. The one who gets his word going ahead, he is dominant, the other one is dominated. Someone who is dominated, can he be a deity? One will say that this person must be healthy, the other one will say he must be sick. One of them will be dominant, the other will be dominated. The one who is dominated is weak. Can a weak being ever be a deity? There can only be one Allah, and there is only one Allah. Therefore, أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. He says to them that you are not worshipping except names. you have kept the name, this is the rain god and this is the sun god and the moon god. These are names which you kept. You and your forefathers merely kept these names. Allah Ta'ala did not reveal any proof about this. In al-hukmu illa lillah. All authority belongs only to Allah Ta'ala. Amara Allah ta'budu illa iya. He has commanded that you should not worship except Him. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That is the straight creed, the established and the perfect creed, but most people do not know it. Then now he gives them the meaning of their dreams. What is the meaning of the dreams? يَا صَاحِبَي سِجْنِ أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمَا فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. That, oh my companions of the prison, one of you will serve wine to his master. In other words, he will be released and he will once again be given that same job that he had, or he will be given this job that he will go and serve wine to his master. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ. And as for the other, فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. He will be hanged and the vultures will come and eat from his head. In other words, he will be killed. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانَ. The matter with which you are asking has already been decreed, has already been finalized. And this is what happened. But nevertheless, while they are leaving, he said to them, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِمْ مِنْهُ مَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكِ. He said to the one who he thought would be saved, that remember me by your master. The one that he believed would be saved, who would be spared, and he would get the job of giving the king wine again. He said to him, that remember me by your master, that when you are sometimes with him, then tell him that in the prison there is one person who is innocent there, sinless, and he has been unjustly imprisoned, because the minister imprisoned him. So now he's saying that, say this to the king when you get there to him, that this person has been unjustly imprisoned. What lesson is learned from here is that it is not against tawakkul to adopt the apparent means. Tawakkul was not to tell anybody anything, just merely to leave it in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And here this was an apparent permissible means. So to resort to the apparent permissible means within limits, this is not against tawakkul. But Allah Ta'ala's mamla and his dealing with his special servants is different. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala demands something far more from them. Hasanatul abrar, sayyiatul muqarrabin. There are many things which are regarded as good deeds of the common people. They are regarded as pious deeds of the common people. But sayyiatul muqarrabin, those very same deeds which are regarded as pious and good deeds of the common people, they become sins for the very close ones. Here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam adopted a permissible apparent means. But for him Allah Ta'ala wanted that you should only resort to me. As a result, Allah Ta'ala caused it such that this person didn't mention it. And shaitan misled him. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. Shaitan caused him to forget mentioning Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to his master. As a result, what happened? فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. He remained in prison for some further more years. Bid'a, the word bid'un in Arabic is applicable to any number between 3 and 9. And here the Mufassirin explained, for another 7 years he remained in prison. And thereafter certain things happen by means of which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala causes him to be released. Inshallah we will continue later. It's quite a bit of time we have taken already. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq of implementing the lessons that we have discussed and being steadfast upon them, and may give us tawfiq of passing it on to others also. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين. ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.